1 Peter 3:7. I don't happen to have it in Phillips. Anybody have Phillips with them? I could go find it, but in the King James it says it just as well. It says, "Husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Nobody ever yet was a good husband by accident. Good marriages do not run by accident. It takes thought and planning and time. If you're going to have a good marriage, you've got to work at it. And a part of dwelling with a wife with knowledge is the fact you're willing to work at it. And then it says, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And women are weaker emotionally than men. Women feel, men think. Men are rational beings, women are emotional beings. You cannot treat a woman like you treat a man. They're just not made up that way. And when women are responding emotionally, what they feel is just as real to them as what you think. So you've got to take into consideration that women are the weaker vessel in the area of the emotions. But from the standpoint of the spiritual, they are heirs together with us of the grace of life. There are no second-class spiritual citizens. B, Ephesians 5, 25, 28, and 21, and 31. Bible says that we ought to love our wives as we love our own bodies, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I've had people ask me, do I love my wife too much? Well, it's easy to answer that question. Just ask him, have you died for her yet? If you have not died for her yet, you do not love her too much. And then in Ephesians 5 also, it talks about the wife submitting to the husband, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And a man to be a fit husband for a godly woman must understand his role as the spiritual leader of the home. And that does not mean the spiritual dictator. It does mean the leader. And if a man is loving his wife as he ought to love her, he'll have no difficulty in getting her to submit to him as she ought to submit. And two wrongs don't make a right. If she is not submitting, does not free you from the responsibility of loving her. And if you are loving her, not loving her, it does not free her from the responsibility of submitting. The command is very clear on both sides. She is to submit to you, and you are to love her. And if either of you is filling any other role than that, then, you know, it's just wrong. Genesis 2:24. Well, Howie Hendricks says that the two of them shall become one flesh. You know, that you leave all others and cleave only unto each other. And he said that all of the marriage problems he's run into is either because people refuse to leave or refuse to cleave. Either will not leave their parents or the boys, or, you know, they will not leave or they will not cleave to each other. All couples are to some degree incompatible. And what we need in marriage basically is not more compatibility but more integrity. And that's a matter of cleaving. Colossians 3:19. That's 3:19 instead of 4:19. Mistake there. It says, husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Women are tender plants. Proverbs 19:14, Proverbs 31. One who prays much regarding the matter of a mate, realizing that only God can make a godly woman. And that's right. The Bible says that we may give our sons houses and lands, but only God can give them understanding wives. Boy, that's something to pray about. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, the book says. It's not good that man should live alone. I believe that. It's better to marry than to burn, says over in 1 Corinthians 7. And God's plan, generally, for humanity is one man for one woman for all eternity. Well, here you are. One who deepens your love for Christ before you come to love him. You know, if a girl's looking for a godly man, that's the kind of man she's looking for. One that is deeply in love with Jesus, if she's a godly woman. And you know what's the interesting thing? I've noticed that godly women and godly men usually get each other. Did you ever notice that? I noticed that the scroungy, unspiritual girls do not usually gather up the godly men. And likewise, the godly women are not gathered up by scroungy, unspiritual men. I think that's some of God's protection, you know. Then the girls say they want one who's a spiritual leader, has a solid life in the Word and prayer. Amen. That good? One who's a pace setter. One who's setting the pace, getting out in front. Old Hebrew proverb, man who leads band must face music. True in marriage. You know, the man of vision can be looked up to, honored, respected. Ephesians 5:33 is a tremendous portion. And I just brought the old part of the... John, see if you can find that the Amplified New Testament in there. That four translation jobs got it, that sort of a red-looking one. And I'll read Ephesians 5:33 when we get back to it. One with whom you share a like interest and goals. And boy, this is so important, fellas, to a woman, and important to you. If you're going to marry, be sure that you do have the same interest and goals. If your goals in life are different, if your interests are different, your chances of making it together are pretty poor, really. A good communicator, one who will share with you and keep you clued in. The day of the strong, silent type has passed. Women want to be talked to. Has people on his heart. One who wants to give himself to the ministry of people. Now, the girls are going to tell you that, you know, but then when it comes down to it, it's going to hurt them, too. Because to the same extent you give yourself to people, you're going to take yourself away from them. And boy, unless they've got a heart for God, a real heart for God, there's going to be all kinds of problems in that. It says here, one you can look up to, Ephesians 5:33 in the Amplified says, however, let each man of you, without exception, love his wife as being, in a sense, his very own self. And let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband. Now listen to this. That she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates and esteems him, and that she defers to him, praises him, and loves and admires him exceedingly. Now, you know, when a godly woman goes out to look for a husband, she's got to look for a guy she can do this to. Isn't that a challenge? Huh? Oh, you bet. Well, let's see here. Where were we? Yeah, has people on his heart. Aye, has allowed Christ to invade every known area of his life with no reserves. Is gentle, tender-hearted, be faithful to you in correcting, reproving, and so forth. Speaking the truth in love. And you know, that's hard. I remember when Irma and I first married. She told me one day, we'd been married maybe 3, 4, 5 months. She said, honey, I hope you'll always be faithful to me and always hold me to the highest. You know, whenever you see that I'm not doing what I ought to do, I want you to tell me about it. And she said, even if I cry and carry on, don't you back off. He said, you hold me to the highest. I said, okay, babe. And by the grace of God, I've attempted to do it. And there have been times when there have been much copious weeping and carrying on, you know. But by the grace of God, if I know my own heart, I want God's best for her. And I want God's best for her bad enough that I'm willing to put up with the inconvenience of a negative response in order to, by the grace of God, see it happen.
Does that go both ways,
Jesus? No. It does not.
You might want to explain that.
I'll be happy to. Women's bent is to try to change men. A little poem puts it well. It says, a maid to a man is a vision ethereal. A man to a maid is a piece of material. You know. Another little poem, I can't remember how it goes exactly, but it says, when a man marries a woman, he hopes that she'll stay just as sweet as she is. But before they've even said I do, she has a complete plan for the alteration of her man. You know, she's going to work him over. And women tend to want to work men over. But scripturally, women do not marry a man in order to make him over. They marry him to love him. And if there's something in his life which she thinks is unpleasing to her and to the Lord, her job is to keep her mouth shut and pray about it. believing that God can get through to the man who is walking with Jesus. That's a strange approach, isn't it?
So, in terms of being a husband, then, who do you look to for correction? Would you say your spiritual leader?
Yeah. And not only that, but now when I say that the wife is not to take and ask you in the way of correction, I do not mean by that that she should not be faithful to you if you ask her. If you ask her, honey, did I blow it in that situation? And she ought to be able to say to you, yeah, you really did. It seemed like it to me. And here's the reason it seems that way. Then you ought to consider it carefully. But if you operate on any other basis, then she'll be ding-donging you all the time about first one thing and then another, you know. And that's just not the way it's supposed to be. It takes faith for a woman to keep her mouth shut and pray. I don't know how many women I've told that down through the years who've come to me for counsel about problems with their husband. And I ran into one just the other day. I don't even remember where she was now. He said, you know, I saw you in such and such a place and in such and such a time, and I asked you about my husband and you told me. And I said, you don't need to tell me what I told you. I know what I told you. She said, what did you tell me? I said, I told you to keep your mouth shut and pray. She said, you sure did. I said, did you do it? He said, yes. I said, what happened? I said, oh, we're happier than we've ever been, you know. Praise God. You know, it's good advice and it works. It will work. Well, let's see. Sensitive to the Spirit's direction to sin. You all can pray for Irma. She needs special grace to live with me. On the backside of it. A husband who's considerate, thoughtful, appreciative, not taking you for granted, not treating you as commonplace. Women are not like a bus. When you catch a bus, you've caught it. You know, you've caught the bus. That's not the way with a woman. Even though she's been caught, she wants to be pursued. And that's, you know, she wants to be sweethearts. She needs to be reassured that she's number one on some man's hit parade. She needs to be appreciated and told so. We could carry on that, but I won't at the moment. Is of similar emotional makeup. Now, I don't know how important that is, personally. A husband is capable, wise, discerning, full of integrity, willing to work at making a marriage a success, has a positive outlook, not negative and critical. That's a pretty good checklist for your life, fellas. You know, you can take that along. It'll do you good and hope you some, as we used to say in Texas. Now let's see about the wife. Let's run over that right quick. Yeah. Jordan?
Do you think there's anything to two people maybe being on the same wavelength and having, well, similar thoughts or similar reactions in situations or things like that? Do you think there's anything to that?
Well, yeah, I think people operate on similar wavelengths depending upon their background and how they've been grooved. You know, you take a gal who's had navigator training, you know, she thinks like a navigator. Well, naturally, you'd be on the same wavelength. You know, man, you program a question in, you get an answer with a reference fore and aft. You know, that's the way she's programmed. And, you know, that puts you on the same wavelength. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, not really. I was thinking in terms of maybe non-spiritual things, just,
Like I was thinking about Chopin and so were you?
Something like that.
Man, I don't know.
Comes up time and time again. And
who says first? Yeah, who says first what they're thinking about?
Well, neither.
Usually. Neither. How do you find out you're on the same wavelength?
Oh. I thought about it. It's an even distribution.
Not something that you drop it out and she says, man, it's just what I was thinking about.
Well, no, because she says it and I know that's what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
And I know she's an honest divine.
Yeah. Got integrity.
It bugs me.
Why does it bug you?
Well, I don't know. Just odd. It's never happened before.
Yeah. You in love with her?
Yeah.
You a marital coward?
Not ready for marriage.
I see. That's the reason it bugs you.
I suppose.
Yeah, probably. You may be trapped. Sorry about that.
Don't worry.
Yeah, you know. Probably worse things have befallen you. Yeah. I'll say this to you about this wavelength business. if she doesn't turn you on, don't marry her.
Explain what you mean by that.
What do you mean by turn you on?
If you're not sexually attracted to her, just don't. That's true that sex isn't everything in marriage, and you got to get out of bed sometime. But I think it's one of God's great provisions for making the rough places smooth and the crooked places straight. And I would not desire to see anyone married to a woman that did not move him in that way. Yes, Randy?
Excuse me. Up toward the first part of the outline, you're talking about something about marriages not being perfect matchups, but can you relate that to somebody's integrity?
Yeah. What do I mean by that?
Well, would you repeat it and explain it, please? I can't remember exactly what you said.
Yeah, what I said was that all couples are to some degree incompatible.
Okay, remember that.
Point one. Point two. But what most marriages need is not more compatibility, but more integrity. What I mean by that is this. It's like a guy working at a job, and he makes up his mind that he's not going to quit. You know, win, lose, or draw, I'm not going to quit the job. Well, then he can think about it and talk about it all he wants to because he's made a decision, I will not quit. Same way in marriage. You know, when you hook it up and decide, you know, win, lose, or draw, I'm with this woman from now till Jesus comes or till I go see him. Then you can think about it and fuss about it all you want to, but the facts are you made a decision. That's integrity. And what you need is integrity in marriage. Deciding, yes, by the grace of God, it'll work. And I frankly don't believe there's any such thing as an unworkable marriage if both parties are willing to work at it. I take that out of Proverbs 4:23. Guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What you feed in will come out. And if both people are willing to work at it and the input becomes right, eventually the output will become right. Therefore, there's no such thing as an unworkable marriage if both people are willing to work at it. Psycho-cybernetics, garbage in, garbage out. You know, good in, good out. That's the life.
Integrity is just sticking to your...
That's right. Integrity is having made the deal, you know, and that's the deal. A deal is a deal is a deal. Okay?
But not perfectly compatible, you just mean you don't have every little thing in common.
Oh, well, and, you know, life is not a bowl of cherries, married life. Somebody said it's give and take. You know, you give up your freedom and take the consequences. It's really not that bad. But it is, in one sense, warfare. You know.
Warfare.
Yeah, it's warfare. And it's a growing thing. Marriage is a growing thing. And anytime there's something growing, it's painful. You have growing pains. But let me hasten on to reassure you, it's worth it. It's worth it. When God said, let us make woman a helpmeet, I think that Berkeley puts it, let us make woman for man, completing him. And that's a great thought. I don't believe that any godly man will be as complete as he could be apart from the love of a godly woman. There's something about him that just will not be complete.